is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can testify, but you just can't win, because I'm here to tell you you guilty as sin. Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge.
Order the court. The Right Honorable Samuel Davis Jr. presiding. Do your thing.
Your Honor, I'm pleading innocent to this burglary rap.
Well, I think I got you because you forgot about one important visual defect in your case.
What's a visual defect?
Somebody saw you doing it.
And that's cruel and unnatural.
Oh, yeah. I got to credit Ed with that one. I said to him, do you remember Here Come the Judge with Sammy Davis? And he found it. This guy is amazing. Take him with you if you ever have to find something on the computer. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with Big Ed, thanks for joining us on this, July 6th. We're halfway through the year already, are we not? Do we not hope that things will be, say, a little better than they were in the first half of the year? We do. By the way, we're going to be talking in a few minutes with Myron Ebell of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about an infrastructure bill sponsored by Democrats that is a financial nightmare, and it ignores the free market. Just what you want, right? Too expensive and no involvement with capitalism and the free market. And Joe Biden, in a tweet, I think it was last night, says he will transform the nation if elected. Now, what exactly would, how is he going to transform the nation? Want to hear him describe in detail how he will transform the nation. He hasn't found his way out of the cellar, has he, yet, of his home? Anyway, at the same time, we have the Supreme Court ready to hand down some crucial decisions as they finish up this week, believe it or not. We're going to take a look at some of them. And Donald Trump, his supporters, strongly urging the Donald to hit the reset button because things are not looking good right now. He's going south with the polls. We're going to talk about all of this with the proprietor of the only poll that really counts, the Barber poll, Andrew Sorese. So the reason we did Here Comes the Judge is this week the U.S. Supreme Court is poised to cap a term like no other. They got some blockbusters coming up, and we're going to hear about them this week. It has to do with things like birth control, religious rights, Donald Trump's tax records. There's 8 remaining cases. So they're going to start coming out starting today. Going to keep my eye on the headlines on this. And these opinions that are coming up can help rewrite the narrative of the court. It did not come up with the clear conservative shift that some thought would happen after the last two Supreme Court justices came onto the court. And we'll see what happens. But Trump's taxes are one of the cases. House Democrats and the state of New York are trying to get Trump's accounting firm to turn over his financial records. They say that it has material that could help, that would include the tax returns that he has long refused to publicly release. Now, I don't know what, they're looking for dirt, and I don't see how this one's going to hold up. They don't have anything specific they're looking for, except they're looking for something that he might have done wrong. Trump says that lawmakers are trying to engage in law enforcement, which his group argues is beyond the constitutional powers of Congress. So we'll see where that one goes. Then there's birth control. The Trump administration seeking to give employers and colleges a right to claim a religious or a moral exemption from the Obamacare requirement about birth control. If they don't feel comfortable, these Christian and Catholic places, with administering birth control, do they have the right to refuse to administer it. So that's what that case is all about. Then there's religious schools. The contraceptive clash is just one of two religious rights cases. The court's going to decide whether to extend a previous decision that shields religious organizations from discrimination claims by other ministers. Two Roman Catholic grade schools say that the exemption should also apply to teachers who carry out important religious functions. So we'll see where that one goes. And there's a bunch of other ones that are coming up as well. One of them, kind of interesting, robocalls. You ever get robocalls at home? I get them all the time. I don't know whether to answer them and yell or just to let them ring and then finally hang up or go to voicemail. But, you know, if it goes to voicemail, then they're going to call back again and over and over and over again, right? Well, this has to do with the 1991 federal ban on robocalls to mobile phones. The law's being challenged on free speech grounds by Democratic Party officials in Oregon and Washington and a trade group. Now, a lower court tossed out an exception for calls made to collect debt owed to the federal government. But that had the effect of expanding the ban. And the challengers now looking to invalidate the entire law. And so that's kind of interesting. And finally, the other one that's interesting has to do with Oklahoma. The Supreme Court could rule that much of eastern Oklahoma is still in the hands of the Native Americans, that it's American Indian territory, and then cast doubt on the state's authority to prosecute crime and enforce regulations there. Remember that these Native American enclaves basically are their own governments. We've never gotten quite over our treatment of Native Americans, so we have given them exemptions from a lot of governmental, you know, American governmental rule. A convicted child molester is arguing that Oklahoma lacked the authority to go after him because he's a Native American and his crime took place within the boundaries of the reservation. So can the U.S. government go after a guy that commits a crime, basically, on Native American grounds if he indeed is a Native American? So we got some kind of important ones that are coming up. That's why I was so impressed with you, Ed, finding Here Come the Judge. I didn't think you would find it. But he can find anything. Well, if it's on the internet, at least he can. All right, let's take our break. And when we come back, Myron Ebell is going to join us. We're going to talk about the Democrats' attempt to get this infrastructure bill passed and why it's not that great an idea.
Sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities, the best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshew.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Gonna tell Aunt Mary about Uncle John. He claimed he has a misery, but he's having a lot of fun, old baby.
Hey, we are back on the Monday following the 4th of July weekend. We hope you had a safe and enjoyable one, as much as can be expected these days. Delighted to have back Myron Ebell. He is the director of the Center for Energy and Environment at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're going to talk about this bill that Democrats voted on this past week called Invest in America. Sounds really good, Myron. Invest in America. Tell us a little bit about the bill and why it maybe isn't quite as good as we might think it could be.
Thanks, Paul.
Sure.
The bill is a monstrosity. It's a monster. It's $1.5 trillion, and it's got many, many titles and divisions. There's a highway bill in there to build highways and bridges and restore bridges. There's a water title for doing all kinds of infrastructure involving water, and then there's I won't go through the whole list, because what I'm really interested in is there's a title that renews and extends and invents all kinds of new taxpayer subsidies for renewable energy,
wind
and solar, electric vehicle charging network. Renewable fuels, biodiesel. There's even credits for bicycle commuters. So it's got everything.
Oh, my God. Well, we know that something like this probably these days is not going to go anywhere, but it kind of harkens back to what a lot of Democrats want to do with, I don't know, with the Green New Deal kind of thing, to go and start spending money on every kind of enhancement to climate change battling, and that just, my eyes start to glaze over. I mean, we seem, first of all, it seems to me, and maybe I should go back to basics on this, Myron, and get your thought. Infrastructure, generally, should it not be left in the hands of states rather than the federal government?
Well, of course, the way it's developed over the years is the federal government puts a lot of money into the highway infrastructure. People pay an 18 cent per gallon tax whenever they fill up their car, so that is the highway trust fund, and that money goes to grants to the states, and the states, and these are usually matching grants, and then the states use the federal gas tax money to build roads.
Yes.
Roads.
Yes.
That's the model. And on top of that, there's been a lot of other stuff added over the years by the federal government. I mean, basically, the states are always on the lookout for more federal money.
Right.
So that's how these programs have developed, and the federal component has gotten bigger and bigger. The problem, the 2008 financial crash, if you recall, Obama had his big spending bill, the omnibus. I now even forgot what they called it.
Yeah, but that, big spending that bill is good.
it had a huge infrastructure component, and as President Obama said at the time, we're going to be funding shovel-ready projects.
Yeah.
And then a few years later, he admitted, well, there is no such thing as a shovel-ready project, because every project has to go through a very long, expensive permitting process, and therefore this idea that this infrastructure, all of this spending huge amounts of money on infrastructure, more than the federal government has ever spent before in this bill that passed the House last week, the idea that that's going to help revive the economy is nuts. It's already been proven not to be true. It will take years and years and years for this money to filter in and actually get spent and hire people and start building things. So it won't help the economic recovery. And then the bill has, as you said, all of these Green New Deal components, which are almost all just a total waste of money.
Yeah. We're talking with Myron Ebell. He is the director of the Center for Energy and Environment at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And I'll tell you, Myron, you are charged with one heck of an important place, because the way our government is starting to look at things like climate change and the Green New Deal and all of these other things. You probably also agree that this thing has no chance of getting through anywhere, correct, right now? I mean, this is more of a wish list kind of thing for Democrats. Is it just a way of promoting something, as in, you know what, if you elect us in November again, or, you know, we take over the Senate, or we get the White House as well, we can start working on these things? Is this kind of what this is all about?
I think that's part of it, but I also think that there's a strong feeling that the Senate will pick and choose. It will be an a la carte menu for the Senate to pick and choose the things that it wants to pass. And so the House Democrats have thrown in everything, and they're hopeful that political pressure will cause the Senate majority Republicans to pick, quite a few things off of their menu. And I think one of the things I worry about is, you know, we've had these subsidies for wind and solar power and for electric vehicles and for other types of alternative energy. We've had these for years and years. The solar subsidy goes back to the late 1970s, in fact. They're all starting to expire or ramp down to be much less generous than they used to be. And so I think that there's going to be a strong push in the Senate to renew the wind and solar, expand the electric vehicle subsidy, and two or three of the others. I think there's going to be a very strong push in the Senate to do that. And so now that it's been passed by the House, it will be easy for the Senate committees to say, well, you know, the House has already passed that. We'll just take it. So I don't think it's as a whole, it's totally dead, but parts of it are going to get through the Senate, I'm afraid.
Oh, boy. You know, you mentioned in this piece also, or it's mentioned, about how the free market is sort of brushed aside with so much of this. Like, for instance, you just talked about the car, the car industry. How about Amtrak? I've always wondered about the government running a railroad station. It seemed like every time I heard about an accident on a train, it was an Amtrak train. I don't know, maybe not, but you know what I mean?
Yes, well, this bill has the biggest increase in spending for Amtrak that's ever been attempted. I forget the number, but it's a huge number. It's like $70 billion.
Oh, my goodness.
And then there's a whole lot of money spent on high-speed rail. And as you know, the one example of high-speed rail California, which was supposed to go from Los Angeles to San Francisco, is now going from Fresno to Bakersfield, and even that, where very few people live. And
there you go. That's what we need.
Right.
Right between Fresno and Bakersfield. That's where the money ought to go.
Yeah. So the thing keeps blowing past every cost estimate every time they turn around. So there have been multiple attempts to completely shut it down. It's been partially shut down, and yet they're still working on it. If you come up with a bad idea to spend money, it gets passed or enacted, it's very hard to ever get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep spending money on the same bad idea. And high-speed rail is, there may be places where high-speed rail makes sense. I think, you know, if there were one along the East Coast corridor between Boston and Washington and hitting New York and Philadelphia and Baltimore, that makes sense, except there's nowhere to build it. They would have to destroy entire communities to have a rail line that could have a high-speed rail. So it's never going to happen there, and the cost would just be unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it just kind of goes back again to this idea of how much the federal government should be involved in infrastructure, the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. I think the more that we can allow the states themselves to handle their own infrastructure problems, I guess, you know, there's a big circular kind of a money thing going on. You talked about the gasoline taxes and the like for the highways. You know, it just seems like it gets totally out of hand. I don't know. I guess it's easy to theoretically talk about it. It's like trying to put the genie back in the bottle. It's probably not going to happen. But in your opinion, are we overall, as when it comes to the environment and energy and, say, infrastructure, are we moving more towards a federal government involvement or less federal government involvement? Or is that, I know it depends on each area, but, you know, like, for instance, the environment, it seems like more federal involvement. And then there's, you know, the energy situation. On the one hand, it seems like, you know, with fracking and everything else going on right now, that's good for the private sector. But then you get the other element on the other side of that, trying to control, you know, the pollutants and the like. I don't know. I guess what I'm asking is just in general, Do you sense that we're going like more federal as opposed to less federal government and things like this?
That's a good question, Paul. It's a difficult one.
Yeah, I know.
I think President Trump has done a lot to deregulate and to put decisions back at the state and local level. I think President Obama had a very large climate policy which he couldn't get through Congress, so he tried to do it through regulation, and that policy was designed to get rid of coal-fired power plants, boost the amount of wind and solar and other types of alternative energy in the electric grid, and that was taking power away from the state. President Trump has undone that whole regulatory program, so it's up to the states, but many states have their own climate programs that go much further than the federal program. Mm-hmm. So California's program is to get rid of fossil fuels entirely and to rely 100% on unreliable power, like wind and solar. Now, I think they can do it because they buy power off the grid, and the Western grid involves a number of states. So they can, if the wind isn't blowing in California, they can, Nevada, say, they can buy it from Wyoming, where there are a lot of windmills. But not every state can do that, because if you're, say, Wyoming, and you're selling your wind power to California whenever it needs it, then you're not going to be 100% renewables, even if you want to be. So there's a lot of back and forth between federal and state power. I think President Trump has done a pretty good job of returning power to the state.
Yes.
But there's a long way to go.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand, and I actually tend to feel like California should be a testing ground for things like that for their own state,
right,
as every
right.
other state should be. I feel actually more comfortable with that. And then when certain states come up with techniques that work, other states can adopt them. But to have the federal government come out and shove all of that out of the way and say, no, we're going to do it this way, you know. Let me ask you a final question. November election coming up. All these other issues. How big a factor do you think the issue of energy and the environment, climate change, do you think that's going to be, it just seems to me that they've kind of been relegated to a lower level on the concern pyramid. What do you think?
There have only ever been two elections that were fought over climate and energy policy in recent times. 2010, when the Republicans took the House after Democrats voted for the Waxman-Markey cap-and-trade bill, and 2016, where both candidates, Clinton and Trump, made energy and climate an issue, and Trump won. I think it's a lower level issue right now, but I do think that the Biden campaign is trying to make climate into a big issue, and I think that that will, of course, give candidate Trump a very big opportunity to make the case for affordable, abundant energy rather than energy rationing policies, mm-hmm. which is what climate programs are all about.
Myron, it's always a pleasure to have you. Boy, we've had you on for so many years, and you've always delivered. Thank you so very much. Stay safe, and I look forward to our next talk.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Our pleasure, my friend. Myron Ebell of the great Competitive Enterprise Institute. We are going to take a break, and guess what? We've got the proprietor of the barber pole coming on. I want to talk with him about what Joe Biden says these days. He says he's going to transform the nation, while at the same time, some Trump supporters are strongly urging the Donald to hit the reset button. Let's find out what Andrew thinks.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. And, well, we had the 4th of July weekend, did we not? Among things that occurred, Donald Trump started it off with a speech at Mount Rushmore on Friday night, sending the media, of course, into a rage. Trump delivered an unapologetically patriotic speech. They had planes fly over and all kinds of good stuff while he was doing it. It was a beautiful backdrop, by the way. And then he did another one, I guess, near the Washington Monument. Very patriotic. I think it was kind of a feel-good thing. He did use it politically. So we got the Master Barber with us. Andrew, first of all, I hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. Did you get a chance to watch the Donald on these festivities?
Of course, Paul, I watched both of them. And you know what? Donald Trump knocked it out of the park with both of them.
Yeah. I think he did. You know, go ahead.
No question about it. Let me tell you something. On the 4th of July, when he did his thing at the White House there, phenomenal. Phenomenal. I haven't seen anything or experienced anything like that since I was a child, Paul.
Yeah. You know, I was switching around on the television because I wanted to see if CNN and MSNBC would cover him. And when he was doing some of that, CNN pushed away. And they were doing other things. And they were talking about it, but they weren't showing him talk. I thought, now why would they do that? The president, 4th of July weekend, and they're pushing away when he goes to the microphone. What is... Well, I know what's going on with it, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're crazy. Listen, people are onto what's going on, Paul. And let me tell you something. You see these polls, and it's a bunch of baloney. Okay. First of all, you had Rasmussen on last week, and he said basically these polls this soon ahead of time aren't worth anything.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah, we got a long way to go. Yep.
You got a long way to go. Number two, Trump is taking it out of the park, man, with everything he's doing. He's trying to put patriotism back. People are feeling it. You know,
the guy's
going to get elected another 4 years. Where do you got Biden? You got to be kidding me. This guy is doing nothing. They have, if you take Ann Pelosi, Biden, and Schumer, they got like about 120 years, right?
Yes.
In the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
What have they done in 120 years? Nothing. Now all of a sudden they say, we're going to take care of this. Well, you've had 40 years of peace. What's the deal here?
Yeah, right. We're talking with the Master Barber. We're getting his opinion, and kind of leads into what Joe Biden tweeted last night. And I'm sure you're excited about this. He said that if he gets elected, his administration won't just rebuild the nation, quote, we'll transform it, unquote.
Oh, he's going to transform it again, just like Obama did. Listen, he's sitting there bragging how he's going to get rid of Trump's $2 billion tax cuts. That's going to help him out a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
He says a lot of people are going to be mad at me. He's right. The guy's not as far off as you think. He knows he's right. People are going to be pissed at him. It's not going to work, Paul.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, too. He's going to transform. What's he been doing the past 40 years? I didn't see any transformation from him.
Oh, no, they've been transforming it, Paul. Look at the last 8 years before Donald Trump. They were transforming it, all right.
All right.
Okay, they were transforming it right down the toilet.
That's what I meant. They weren't transforming it in a positive way. Now, at the same time, and I want you to think about this question: why are Donald Trump's numbers on these different polls? I mean, we could say that if one or two said it, but it does seem like during this pandemic and all of the demonstrations that his numbers are dropping, and that Biden, by hiding in his basement, has seen an increase in his chances. Now, I know it's early. We got 4 months. Listen to what Karl Rove, who, by the way, informally advises Trump and his campaign, said. He said, when you're in the barrel, when you're getting a lot of bad press and the polls are going against you, you need to do something that says, we're moving in a different direction. And he says, that's what I mean by a reset. Do you think that Donald Trump should step back maybe from his tweets, chat with his advisors, et cetera? Do you think he should maybe kind of change his demeanor a little bit at all?
Why ruin a good thing, Paul?
Okay,
I don't believe these polls. Right. I believe half of these polls are owned by liberal people just like the media.
Okay.
They're all against him, Paul. It's a bunch of crap.
Okay, so he should continue to do exactly the way
he... Donald Trump.
Uh-huh.
That's why we elected him. That's why it's working.
Yep.
Like I said, if anybody didn't feel patriotic on the 4th of July, there's something wrong with them.
I saw... I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I guess they had 4th of July protests against the 4th of July in Tampa.
They did, and I'll tell you what was even more distressing to me. In Baltimore, they took the statue of Christopher Columbus and they dumped it into the river. Did you see the pictures on that?
No, I didn't. I must have missed that one, Paul.
They toppled Christopher Columbus's statue in Baltimore, and they took it over to whatever that river. Did you see that, Ed? And they actually threw it. They rolled it down into the water. I thought, Christopher Columbus? What are we doing? We got Lincoln going down, Christopher Columbus going down. I'm sure that...
Paul, let me ask you one question.
Yeah.
Why are they allowing it?
Well, Trump doesn't...
Why are they allowing it to happen?
I know. I agree with you.
Why don't they have the policemen sitting there and say, you're touching nothing here, okay? These people are a bunch of lunatics. They got nothing better to do.
Absolutely.
Right?
They also are not the ones that are going to vote, and they also don't know a damn thing about history. They don't
That's
know.
Right.
They don't know why they're doing it. They're doing
exactly.
it just to be a vandal.
Exactly, Paul, and that's got to stop. You didn't hear on the news all the protests this weekend, did you? They kept it quiet.
Indeed.
I guess there were protests in all the major cities. You know what?
Yes, there
Put
were.
Put a stop to it. Bring out the water cannons. Don't let these people get away with this baloney. It's our own fault for letting it happen. You got 2% of the population in this country controlling 98%.
Hey, did you see also, well, let's do a little bit of a positive. Did you see any of the fireworks displays that were going on in, like, New York and in some of these, and in, you know, I mean, aside from the Trump thing itself? They see?
No, Paul, I wouldn't waste my time watching Macy's, to be honest with you. I got nothing to do with New York. It's the most disgusting state in the country today, other than California. Now, I have nothing to do. I won't even tell people I'm from there. I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, okay.
And
well,
I'm from the good part.
You are. You're from Rochester, aren't you?
And I'm from the good part. It's a beautiful country. But
it
you
is.
Know what?
It is
the
a good,
disease
it's a beautiful
is
state.
Spreading like a cancer from New York City all the way up, Paul.
Yeah.
It's nothing but a cancer, and they need to cut it out now.
You know, there was some shootings again in the major cities, and you knew over the July 4th weekend, with the summer, the warm weather, and all the other things going on. But Chicago and New York, I mean, they got to start. And then in Baltimore, around that Wendy's deal, somebody was killed. Are we? Are these mayors finally waking up that they got to kind of take back, you know, take back and also not defund, but maybe increase a police presence? Don't you think that most people, I think most people are sitting back. I don't know what anybody is thinking. How can Democrats think that statue toppling and shootings are going to increase their people at the polls? I don't understand.
Well, shootings in New York City are up 257%, I saw this morning.
Yeah, de Blasio's got to be the most disliked mayor in the history of this country.
Let me, you know what? When I came from New York, I'm going to say around 1978, 1980, you know what they would have done to de Blasio and Cuomo? They would have dragged them out by the scruff of their neck physically, Paul.
Yeah.
You know, New York was better off. New York was better off in the 60s and 70s and early 80s when the mob was running the politicians. Because you know what? In those days, Dad had a good job. Mom was able to stay home and watch the kids. Industry was flourishing. The minute, you know, they started getting rid of the mob and the politicians took over, they're not even leaving scraps on the table.
Well, I'm thinking about Chicago, which went through the same thing. We had all that political dirt going on with the dailies, and yet the city was glorious.
That's right.
And things were very productive, beautiful kind of a situation. It's funny how that works.
I'm telling you, let me tell you, in 1978, if they would have tried to take the statue of Christopher Columbus down in Brooklyn, I got news for them. What would have happened?
Oh, my God. Can you?
they had no idea what would have happened. It would have been steamrolled.
You know, this woke culture is actually a culture of suppression. Yeah, they're suppressing statues, speech, even certain movies are being suppressed. In other words, it's a cancellation of history and a suppression of thought. I mean, people, if you've got a brain cell in your body, doesn't that enter your mind what they're doing?
Well, Paul, you're talking about the woke movement, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm starting what they call the wake movement.
I like that better.
Okay, we're awake to the bullcrap that you people are trying to pull. So I'm the wake movement, and I'm trying to start the wake movement. I keep asking people, are you woke or wake?
Yes.
Okay, I'm wake, and I know you're wake, and I know Ed is wake.
Yeah.
Okay?
Let me wake
so
you
what
up.
Are we going to do about these woke? We need to start promoting the wake movement.
Yeah.
We are awake to your baloney.
I agree. And, hey, I got another thing. I think when everybody goes to vote, I think there should be some sort of a basic civics test, an easy one, but basic enough that if you don't know, like, that George Washington was the first president, or that the Declaration of Independence was, things like that, you don't get a chance to vote. You got to have some capacity to make a decision. I don't know. Do you agree?
I agree with you 100%. These people are mental morons.
I guess so.
They're mental morons, Paul. As far as, don't worry about the polls, okay? I think Trump should be Trump, and he should stop listening to, like, Peter Rove and all these people. Because you know what?
They're
old rhinos. Carl, they're old rhinos, Paul.
Okay.
And you know what? The old rhinos are dead. We got the Trump movement going on, and that's what Trump is. Trump is not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. He's an American.
Yeah.
He had to run under the Republican Party to get some backing here to become president. The half of the Republicans are not Trumplicans. They try to get rid of him. Okay?
Yep.
People got to realize Trump is a movement, and that's the only movement that's going to steer this country in the right direction. We had proof of it over the weekend, what this guy means to this country.
Well said, my friend. Very well said. Thank you so very much. I'm going to be seeing you either, I guess, tomorrow maybe. But it's always a pleasure when you bring your barber pole and give us what the real, you know, what the people really think. Thank you, Andrew.
Oh, and you know what?
Yes, sir.
Keep an eye on Epstein's girlfriend there. There's going to be a lot coming out with this if they keep her alive, but they're moving her to the New York jail where Epstein got nailed, you know.
Oh, that's that. Why don't they send her somewhere else? I mean, that's the worst possible place.
But, you know, if she starts talking, they're saying she's going to. So there's a lot of people right now that are lawyering up and changing their diapers, believe me.
Yes, they are. And you know what? If I were those that want her to talk, I'd be recording her now just in case. Get it all down now, you know, just in case.
Right. But even so, you got to watch the person that's recording it because they're all tied in. You need about five recordings.
Well, wait a second. I heard from that Bill Clinton said that he never went to that crazy island where Epstein was. So I guess he's okay, right?
Yeah, but they got pictures of him on the airplane. So,
well, yes, he was just flying over it though. He didn't.
And there's a lot of people. There's Oprah. There's a whole bunch of them. Oh, Oprah. She was a good friend of Epstein's. Believe me.
She didn't go to the island.
Okay.
Now that would be a scoop. That would be a scoop.
Okay. Right. I'm telling you, there's big money trying to knock this chick off, believe me.
Oh, yeah, no, there's plenty that want to knock him off, even from the royalty in England.
That's right. You got it all, buddy.
All right, my friend. I will. We'll be talking again tomorrow.
You got it.
Thank you, sir.
Be good.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Andrew, you know, it's funny. He always gets little tips. And he'll bring him on our show and talk a little bit about him. And I never know where he gets all of that, but he makes the show very interesting. Okay, we are going to take our final break. And among other things, we're going to talk about the top 10 worst movies in the second decade of the talkies.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the last segment. By the way, Freedom Works, we come to you Monday, Tuesday, and Friday on the Great Tantalk Radio Network from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And if you cannot listen to us live, you can listen to us on podcast. Thank you, Big Ed. He sets up all of our programs on podcasts. So if you go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on the podcast button, you'll get to see the shows, most recent shows there first chronologically. You'll see the guest, topic, and maybe most importantly, the top 10. And Ed does that for us for every show, and for that we are very grateful. And Ed, so we had the 4th of July weekend. It happens on a Saturday. That night, I could have gone outside because there were fireworks going off in every direction. And I got a couple of cats, and I had to make sure that they were in a soundproof room. But it was pretty, I found it to be quite a lively evening. Did you notice that?
Yeah, two things that most of the local public displays were canceled because of the coronavirus. So that left people to have to do their own. And then
yes.
The county, I believe both Hillsborough and Pinellas, usually have a ban on some fireworks, kind of lifted those bans and said, have at it at home.
So they allowed it.
So there was a lot of home fireworks this year.
Yeah.
More than I've ever heard before.
I always kind of cringe because a couple of days after the weekend when they do it, you look to see how many people got hurt because
of
them.
Yeah, some fires. House caught fire here.
Where?
Down the street.
Really?
Yeah.
Right from our station?
Yeah.
Wow. What about the beaches this weekend here in Tampa Bay? Were they, I know they're open. They're not open, I guess, down in Miami-Dade, right?
Yeah, those are closed down there, but most of our beaches around here have been open, as far as I know.
Have we had any issues with trouble with the virus thing because of it, do you think?
They're not enforcing it. They're not enforcing it like they were before. The beaches are open. The only thing I saw with this, they put a sign down the road here before you get to the causeway to go to the beach. There's a big electronic sign that flashes, 4th of July weekend, expect heavy traffic. Usually what it'll say is what it said before was maintain social distance, no drinking on the beach, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
No more than 10 in a group. There was nothing about the social distancing or groups. It just said no alcohol on the beach, expect heavy traffic July 4th. And I didn't see heavy traffic all weekend. I didn't.
I was going to ask you about that.
It wasn't bad. Not because there was nothing. What are you going to go down there and see?
I know. There's no fireworks going on.
Yeah, it's too hot, and you just
very hot.
There was nothing to do.
In fact, I think the temperature of the Gulf water is in the 90s.
Yeah, it's 90. Some days it's hotter in the Gulf than it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's holy Toledo. You can take a frying pan, put some eggs on it.
For some reason, this early part of the rainy season, usually we get the storms build in the middle of the state and then move westward and then go out into the Gulf, which cools the Gulf off. But we haven't had any much rain, and it's basically starting in the middle of the state and moving to the East Coast instead of the West. So, yeah, the Gulf is a little hotter than it usually is.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing if you catch a fish, it's probably already, boiled.
Yeah. You just eat it.
You just eat it right off the hook.
I'm afraid. I don't even want to get that visual. No, thank you.
That's the most disgusting. If I go to a restaurant and where they put the whole fish on the plate,
including
the eyes,
the head.
And the eyes looking at you.
No, thank you.
I got to leave.
Uh-huh. It's like when you go to a lobster place and they've got them in a tank and you can actually purchase one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have the heart to do it. If that thing was in there, I would not want to eat it.
The only time I eat lobster, I could do without. I'll eat it, but I can do without it. Is if you go on a cruise where it's free, it's surf and turf, you get lobster and steak and it's included in your meal.
Yeah.
That I won't go out and purchase one.
No.
No, I don't.
I think
like
I agree
that
with you.
Much.
Well, that's great. All right. It is time. We did this for the first 10 years of the talkies, Ed, on Friday, which we called, for every year during the first 10 years of the talkies, the top worst movies for every year. So we're going to, I actually have them going for a long time. I got the next decade after that of the worst movies per year. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to do that.
Maybe we might know some of these.
Yeah, and I must tell you, I have seen a bunch of them. I was going to say I was proud to tell you I saw them, but maybe I shouldn't be so proud if they made this list. So we'll see. So here we go. This goes from, just so you know, we're going to start in 1939 and every year for 10 of them. So, 1939.
39 we start? Okay.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
So hit the drum. That a boy. Yeah, see, what we're doing is we went from 29 to 38.
Okay.
So we're going to go from 39 to 48 right now. So in 1939, the worst movie was called Jamaica Inn, which I did see on television. On television. Don't bring that up. I didn't see it when it came out. But Charles Laughton, Remember him, Ed? Charles Lawton?
No.
You don't. Okay. How about Maureen O'Hara? You remember her?
Yes.
Okay. Well, she was in it. And it is an Alfred Hitchcock movie made just before he left England for Hollywood, and they call it his worst work. All right. Number 1940. Now, I would see this just by the name alone. Boris Karloff starred in a movie called The Ape. That was the name of it. He plays a scientist trying to cure polio. Everything goes to hell when the ape breaks into his lab. The struggle leads to the ape being killed. So what does Karloff do? Well, since he needs to go back out and get fluid, spinal fluid, he skins the ape, wears the skin of the ape, and goes around killing the townsfolk for their spinal fluid.
So he goes from Frankenstein to ape.
Okay. Yeah. How do you like that? All right. 1941. The Monster and the Girl. What a horrible title. Ellen Drew and Paul Lucas, a framed man, convicted, executed. But they got gorillas all the time. Then a mad scientist saves his brain, puts it into an ape. And then the ape takes revenge on the people that framed him. Now, how would you like to watch that movie?
No.
No, okay. 1942. The corpse vanishes. Bela Lugosi's in it. Mad scientist steals the life from young women, gives it to his aging wife, dungeon of horrors in the mansion, and an evil dwarf to go along with it. You got everything you want right there. All right, 1943. This has, when you hear the title, you go, wow, Frankenstein meets the Wolfman. Must be a good one, right? Lon Chaney plays the Wolfman, and Bela Lugosi plays Frankenstein. High expectations, but the only fighting occurs at the tail end of the movie, two tepid minutes. They flail about before being swept away in a flood.
I may have seen that on a Saturday morning fright night or fright day.
Exactly.
Whatever.
That's exactly
what Dr. Paul Bearer or something.
There you go. Dr. Paul Bearer. We were talking about him last night. Very interesting. Okay. 1944. The Big Noise. Now, guess what? Laurel and Hardy was in one of the worst movies. They pretend, they're janitors pretending to be detectives. They need to transport a bomb to Washington. It's regarded as their worst effort of all time, and it made the 50 worst films of all time. All right, 1945. Pillow of Death with Lon Chaney again. People found dead from a pillow suffocation. Oh, what a terrible way to go. Tensions rise as they try to figure out who the murderer is. It's the main character who believes he can talk to his dead wife. Okay, we call it, then they made a sequel called Pillow Talk. All right. 1946. Song of the South. I saw this one. It was a good movie. I don't care what they say. It had Bobby Driscoll and Hattie McDaniel. And it was a Disney film, and they combined cartoons with real life, but it had a master-slave relationship in it, and that's why nobody likes it anymore. But it was a good movie. Okay, 1947. Shoot to Kill. An astounding 0% critical rating on Rotten Tomatoes. The film noir is about a gangster, a journalist, and a corrupt district attorney, and it was terrible. All right. And finally, the worst movie of 1948, The Babe Ruth Story. And I saw that one, too, with William Bendix. It was a complete fairy tale, like how he tells a dying boy he's going to hit a home run at an exact spot. He never did that. He was a legendary drunken womanizer, but of course none of that is shown. So there you go. All right, my friends. Thank you so very much. We will be back tomorrow. Remember, freedom works.